right, welcome to Highly Questionable. One side is L. Duncan, the other side is Monica McNutt. I'm just over here looking like I need a haircut. I never thought I'd ever say that again.
Who won the contract negotiation, Dak or the Cowboys?
I need you to understand something. In 1 year, Dak Prescott is going to make $75 million. There is going to be a day very soon where Dak Prescott goes on the app, checks his balance, and that $66 million signing bonus will have hit. You know what it's like when you get some money and forget that it's coming and then it shows up? That's going to happen to him for $66 million. He damn sure didn't lose. Now, you can make the argument that the Cowboys lost, and I think in the end they probably did, but not in the way that we're going to think about. The cap is going to go up in 2022 when the TV money comes in. They can easily afford it, but the mistake they made is one that I think that every team in the league needs to realize. If you want to keep your quarterback, you cannot franchise tag him. Go ahead and get that extension done early. If you don't want to keep him, play the Kirk Cousins game all you want. But if you do want to keep him, he's going to have you over a barrel after that first tag. And that's what Dak did, and he got him for every dime he could.
Yeah, it's certainly team Dak. I think advantage Dak when it comes to this deal. I'm not nearly as surprised and clutching my pearls as some people, though. I believe the Cowboys have five players that are in the top five at their position in terms of salary. Like, they have committed $100 million just to three players on their team. If you talk about DeMarcus Lawrence, Amari Cooper, and now Dak Prescott. But I will say this. I think the real winner here is his agent, Todd France, because when you look at sort of the minutiae of the contract and you break down the numbers, not only, Bo, is he going to make that $75 million this year, but at the worst case scenario for Dak, he's going to play for the next 3 years under this contract, try to negotiate a new deal, right? If that doesn't work, he can play the fourth year. And if he does that, he will have made $30 million more than Patrick Mahomes did in that exact same span, only Patrick Mahomes then has another 7 years that he's locked down in Kansas City. So to your point, yes, he could theoretically get another $100+ million contract, which is amazing. So when you think about what they were able to pull in the course of 1 year and coming off a devastating leg injury, if I was Dak, I would French Todd France.
There's so many numbers, guys. Dak definitely wins this deal. But to Elle's point, it's not just the money. I think it's also the power of this deal. He's got no trade clauses if it does come up when he's ready to move on or however that's going to work. And he's going to be 31. Like, he still arguably could be in his prime. We're seeing, listen, if TB12 can equal 43 years and Dak Prescott is a younger version, I'm not going to argue whether he's been more productive to this point in his career, not get into that. But now we've got this template of how you have longevity, and he already has proven to be a top-tier quarterback in this league. He's going to be 31 and arguably could do this deal again some kind of crazy way. So Dak definitely wins, although I do think that cap thing is a big deal for the Cowboys. So both teams win, sort of, but Dak wins more.
Yeah, I kind of cut the Cowboys some slack on this because I think it's easy just to talk about how stupid they were. And they're like, he could have had him for $30 million 2 years ago. That dude wasn't going to take $30 million a year 2 years ago. Like, they understood that this is what was possible. Like, Deshaun Watson, I bet he's sitting at his crib wishing that he had not signed that extension because he could be approaching free agency in a similar way and not be stuck. Instead, he went about this the old school way. They offer you money, you take the money and make sure you got the security and then try to get yourself out of there after the fact. Dak Prescott stared it down the whole way. And what he realized, I think, is quarterbacks are so scarce that even coming off of that broken leg, which really shouldn't have long-term effects, but still, even coming off of that, he still had the leverage over the Cowboys. The Cowboys always said he had leverage over the Cowboys. You think of one time there was a negotiation like this where you ever heard a team say, well, you know, that guy's got all the leverage.
Should we read into Russell Wilson being snubbed in the Seahawks letter to season ticket holders?
All right, we have reached the point of the Russell Wilson saga where I see in the production notes his name. I don't even bother to read up on the story because we don't even need to read up on it at this point. We know exactly what is going on here. We have all the background. And yes, apparently in the letter they sent out to season ticket holders, his name is not in it. And should we read something into this? Yeah, I think we should. Now, granted, we tried to read into Dak not being in a video that the Cowboys put out a couple months ago, and they just backed up the truck for him. However, Russell Wilson's the face of that team in a way that Dak Prescott up to this point has not been the face of the Dallas Cowboys. It seems odd that his name would not be in it. And what there is to read into it, not necessarily they're going to trade him or anything like that, but there's beef. These folks are not really getting along with each other. I assure you that Russell Wilson read something into it, and I assure you that there was somebody at the Seahawks office that said, should we put Russell Wilson's name in this? And somebody was like, nah, let him read it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, is this something? I'm at like a 7, 6.5. I do think that there's certainly trouble in paradise in terms of that union. But the Cowboys just went off the board in terms of a team that Russell will be willing to be traded for. So I think that the likelihood that this gets solved is higher than not. I mean, if we look at the Cowboys as our cautionary tale, look at them without Dak this past year. Russell is still a huge part of what they do. I mean, up until what, week 5 this year, some folks had him in the MVP conversation. So this is something. I do think that this is going to get solved, though, ultimately. Russell's, I just don't see Russell going anywhere. He's been the face of that franchise forever.
To Monica's point, Seneca Wallace ain't walking through that door, Seattle. What up, Seneca? I'm not sure that we're reading more into this than we're reading into like this sort of back and forth that they've been doing through the media, you know, mm-hmm. where Russ is like, I don't want to be traded, but if I was going to be traded, this is what I would want and the teams I'd want to go to. And well, we don't want to trade Russ, but we will be accepting phone calls should someone want to talk to us. But this is the same sort of back and forth. This is what they're doing. They're sort of playing the public relations game, if you will. I will say this. When you read the headlines, like some of y'all making it out to be like they listed everyone on the roster and didn't mention Russ's name. I mean, they mentioned two dudes who set personal records. I would probably read more into it if they had said something petty like, and shout out to Russell Wilson for setting a single season records and interceptions. Like that would have told me, like methinks this relationship is irreparable. But I think that they can find a way to sort of come to an agreement. And Monica, yes, while the Cowboys are off the table, most people have believed all along it would have to be the Chicago Bears that would go all in for Russell Wilson. The truth of the matter is, give the man whatever you need to give the man, yeah. because despite the fact that he consistently ranks in the top three and typically is the most pressured quarterback, he still did have some personal milestones last season where he set completion percentage records. He was throwing the ball more than ever, and he did, of course, turn the ball over more. But at the end of the day, we're going to start doing this Dak Prescott thing with Russell Wilson, and I got to be honest, I'm not here for it. Like, call me when they make an actual decision, but reading into press releases, come on, y'all.
But at least with the Cowboys and Prescott, we just didn't want to believe both sides, but they both made it clear we both want this to happen. We knew that for fact with Prescott and the Cowboys. The thing that you mentioned that's so interesting is this is the most passive-aggressive public beef that I can think of. I can't think of a time that a guy didn't demand the trade but had a list of teams to be traded.
Correct.
Right? Like, when has that ever happened? No, I don't want to be traded, but here's my list. What are you guys doing? Either stay or go. Make it happen.
What are your thoughts on Kansas parting ways with Les Miles?
Okay, so we found out recently that at LSU, there was an investigation into Les Miles and his interaction with female undergraduate students at LSU. He's inviting them over to his condo. It reached a point where he was not allowed to meet with female staffers in the office one-on-one, and then he kept on doing it anyway. It was recommended that he be fired, and nobody fired him. But 8 years later, it surfaced he's now at Kansas, and we get a statement that Kansas is letting Les Miles go, and they said that they mutually parted ways. But if you look at that statement about the mutual parting of ways, there was no mention as to why it was that they were mutually parting ways. It was a whole lot of discussion about football. And I can only assume that Kansas fired Les Miles for the same reason everybody else gets fired, because they wanted to fire him. If he didn't go 0-9 last year, do I think they would have fired him for this? Probably not. We're not talking about whether or not they should have, but they wanted to let go of him. They wanted to get up from under that contract, and this became the opportunity for them to do so. But the real story on this will remain everything that LSU did to not fire Les Miles. Everything that they did. What got him fired? Losing to Alabama 5 times in a row. What didn't get him fired? Being unable to trust this grown man to be in rooms with other adults.
That's the bottom line. And not only does it speak to LSU's cover up, but then Kansas and doing their research. We throw around this idea that winning covers all, and it seems to cover a multitude of sins, including things that are reprehensible. Kansas was lazy, I would say, in the hiring process as well, because I don't think it was too hard to find this information. Winning, it hasn't even been worth it. It hasn't even been worth it at Kansas for Les Miles at all.
Well, listen, Les Miles' camp is sort of doing this whole publicity tour where they're sort of saying, like, we understand, but at the same time, if you look at both reviews, they say in the review, he didn't do anything wrong. Sure, he couldn't be trusted around women, but at the same time, he didn't kiss them, right? So why could he be let go? Well, he's getting let go, to Beau's point, because he was 0-9 last year and won 3 games in his 2 seasons at Kansas, but also because of something that we all have in our contracts. It's a good old morality clause. And if you embarrass the organization or the team or the school, then you can and will be let go. In particular, when they wanted an opportunity and an out, to Beau's point, to be able to get rid of him. Now, I have no idea whether they're going to have to pay him any money because it looks like it was on his own doing. But at the same time, this is also a lesson in nepotism, because Kansas is saying, we're going to use a hiring firm now to figure out who our next coach is. You know who didn't use a hiring firm when they brought in Les Miles? Kansas. And why? Because Jeff Long was homies with him back in the 80s. So the problem here is that without doing your due diligence, you're now 7-8 years after the fact having to try and make amends for something that LSU did not do. If you would have crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's years ago, then you wouldn't be in this position now where he has not only dragged your team into this, but you're now having to look for a new coach.
Now, I will cut Kansas slack in this way. I do feel it's a little disingenuous for us as a media to have not come across this story ourselves for 8 years and then somehow think that Jeff Long is supposed to be the one to get it. Like, clearly there were people at LSU that did not want anybody to know this. Maybe they should have known. I don't even go so hard on that, right? Because clearly there was an effort made to make sure that people did not know. The real scorn has got to be down there in Baton Rouge, where this is a small part of a much bigger problem that they have had for years, and somebody's got to fix. And Jeff Long shouldn't be the one that ultimately has to pay the price for that.
But Bo, they will examine, if you're a player, they will examine what you did in third grade. Yeah. Monica, you know this, and whether that speaks to your character. And when it comes to these situations, all one person has to do is speak to someone's character. And if that person is in a position to hire like Jeff Long is, then it doesn't really matter. So yes, it is on the people at Kansas to say, let's do our vetting and make sure that his time at LSU was not just about his on-field activities and what happened there, but let's make sure the kind of character guy that we're getting, and particularly in a current climate where people will always dig up old information on you.
Here's the other part to me that turns my stomach. Les Miles was a retread, and I mean that politely. Sure, he was successful at LSU. Jeff Long was his boy. We keep having this conversation, and I hope and pray to God that it doesn't get left in 2020 about leadership. You mean to tell me that you went with your boy, who was a retread, old white guy in coaching? You mean to tell me you couldn't have been a little bit more creative in terms of investing in leadership that looks more like your players? We have Victor Cruz on the show that I host, and he pointed out that position coaches tend to be black coaches. So why are we not seeing more black head coaches? I know that this hire was however many years ago, but again, this idea of, oh, let me hire my boy or whoever's been a name in college football, as opposed to doing the due diligence to help the leadership reflect the players.
Up next on HQ.
That's like getting left at the altar and then getting run over by the catering truck as they pack up all the food from your reception no one's going to eat because you got left at the altar, right? It's just the ultimate blow. That's, when you're low and you're
that's
low.
That's in depth. You carry that was all the way out.
Detailed. Yeah, detailed.
I might have been scared that would happen, but I trapped him and we're all good.
I'm glad you were only scared that it could happen rather than this being a story that you hadn't told us yet.
Right.
I just envision people in their basement talking through computers, but also telling players what to do. I also do not trust fans in terms of decision makers because they think they can do things or they think athletes should be doing things that are ill-advised. This seems dangerous to me. Don't like it.
I don't trust any football that is played on a little field. Like, I just like, once you get out there and they're like, yo, y'all gonna play on this little field. I just don't understand people playing half court football.
Do you question what the worst part of this was for this Glenville State player?
Okay, we are going out to Glenville State versus West Liberty. Glenville State is on defense. Let's get a look.
Oh,
all right, got a buzzer beater.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Wrong
damn,
guy.
No.
No.
Oh, no. He's like, he's just trying to get his cry on.
Wrong place, wrong time.
And now he's at the bottom of the pile. And I got to say, This leads me to believe that his tears were not real. Because, like, if he was really that hurt and he wound up at the bottom of that pile, he'd start swinging on somebody.
Swinging.
Right? He ain't do none of that. He just sat there and was like, cool, nobody can see me. I can cry down here.
To be fair, shout out to the team that got him in the pile. Talk about rubbing it in your opponent's face, literally. Aha! You ain't get out the way in time, bro. Eat this.
That's like getting left at the altar and then getting run over by the catering truck as they pack up all the food from your reception no one's going to eat because you got left at the altar, right? It's just wow. The ultimate blow that's, when you're wow. low
that's,
and you're
that's
low.
That's in depth. You carried right? that was all intense. The way out.
Detailed. Yeah, detailed.
I might have been scared that would happen, but I trapped him and we're all good.
I'm glad you were only scared that it could happen rather than this being a story that you hadn't told us yet.
Right.
Do you question if Josh Gordon still got it?
Josh Gordon is playing in fan-controlled football, a league that gets a disproportionate amount of credit on the silly portions of our television show. Josh Gordon is now playing for them. He was held to 4 catches in his first game, but here we go. Come with me. Run quick C.
Hail Mary.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Like
the announcer's enthusiasm. Oh my God.
I can't imagine loving anything enough to have ever been as good at football as Josh Gordon was and to be out there playing with those dudes. I just cannot imagine deciding that I'm going to go do that.
I feel like, Monica, I don't want to throw you in this with me. I feel like as someone who does sports for a living, I should have not been today years old when I found out there's a thing called fan-controlled football. You go out on maternity leave and now there's fan-controlled football, and I get it. I think it's been around for a couple of years now. Nonetheless, they play in Duluth, Georgia, I'm told, Bamani, which tells me everything I need to know about fan-controlled football. What the hell? What is this?
I will join you in being today years old when I found out this is a thing. I just envision people in their basement talking through computers, but also telling players what to do. I also do not trust fans in terms of decision makers because they think they can do things or they think athletes should be doing things that are ill-advised. This seems dangerous to me. Don't like it.
I don't trust any football that is played on a little field. Like, I just like, once you get out there and they're like, yo, y'all gonna play on this little field. I just don't understand people playing half-court football. Like, that just seems to not be worth the money at all.
Up next on HQ.
I feel like, I want to talk about Gonzaga. Have we landed at the fact that Gonzaga is sort of like the college basketball version of, like, Jacksonville? Like, y'all keep claiming that this is the year they'll finally be over the hump. I feel like Gonzaga is just out to bamboozle all of us.
Tonight on ESPN, BYU and number one Gonzaga.
Gonzaga is undefeated. I'm looking forward to watching one of their basketball games one day. Anyway, they tell me they got this dude named Jalen Suggs. He might be the number one pick. He's a freshman. He's a point guard. A goaltend was called on this play because sometimes refs are haters because why else would you want to be a ref?
Wait,
look at this.
How?
Gonzaga gets these guys now?
Oh.
They go to Gonzaga now?
Jalen Suggs, also football player for real, apparently could have gone to his pick of the litter on football schools. That ball was clearly at the top and not on his way down. That's a terrible call in addition to refs being trash and ruining everything.
Hell, you intrigued.
I feel like I want to talk about Gonzaga. Have we landed at the fact that Gonzaga is sort of like the college basketball version of like Jacksonville? Like, y'all keep claiming that this is the year they'll finally be over the hump. I feel like Gonzaga is just out to bamboozle all of us. Like, I keep seeing stuff. Monica, I'll lean on you here, and Bo, you're a college guy. Are y'all convinced that this is the year that Gonzaga will finally not spit the bit? Because I'm not.
I'm not, and I don't think that their conference helps them. Like, I think back to that team with Rui Hachimura that was really good and handed Baylor their backside and my little brother in particular in the NCAA tournament, and they didn't get there. Like, I don't think them being undefeated helps them because I don't think they've been tested enough.
I ain't staying up that late to watch Gonzaga play basketball. I'll holler at y'all in a couple weeks, though. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know when I don't. I don't. All right, that's the show. Check L. Duncan out stunting on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. Monica McNutt, you can check her out at theundefeated.com. And they got her in that round of horn rotation.